because you're doing a lot of things that little people need. But we can also recognize that the health of your marriage really impacts the health of your family. So it's super important that these are things that you guys are focused on when you're raising young kids. So we're going to talk about some of the lessons we've learned by doing it the wrong way a lot of the time. So just a very quick background. I know Lisa told you some, but some of you already know this about me. I actually come from a divorce background. I was, when I got out of college, I married someone and I divorced them soon after. So I come from a divorce background. Todd comes from a background of divorce. His parents got divorced when he was in middle school. It was kind of long and drawn out. So he has that as part of his history. When we met, we were not believers when we were living in Paris. It was beautiful over there, but we were not believers yet. And now where we are is, as Lisa said, we have four kids. So there they are when they were littler. Aw. And actually, we will be gaining a fifth child in May because Cameron, so our oldest just launched. She's finished college. She's down in Florida. Our second one, Cameron, the tall one, is in college in Utah, and he is engaged. So Maddie, on the end there, will be joining our family in May. And then Caitlin and Daniel are in high school right now. So that's our family.
Yeah, and I guess I wanted to say thank you for being here. I mean, to all, I know what it's like, you know, just going to men's study on Monday nights, you know, late after a day of work. And it is hard, you know, going to that study. But every time I'm blessed for being there. And so for all of you, you know, women that were on the fence about coming this morning, but you purposed in your heart to be here, thank you for following through that. You know, the fellowship that you're enjoying right now is a result of that commitment. And I wanted to just, those small steps are what will establish you as you go forward. So great job. Thank you for being here. Super humbled to be with you. And I think that's the first point. We have three practical concepts that made an impact in our marriage. And we want to share those with you because we want, you know, again, it's about learning about your spouse so you can know best how to communicate and how to interact with them.
So the first thing of the practical things that we want to share with you is to recognize communication styles. So you may be, or your husband is either an introvert or an extrovert. And a lot of times in your home, you may not think that matters because even introverts at home, that's their safe space. So they might not seem it. But if your spouse is an introvert and they come home from a day of work, they're probably exhausted because of what they've had to do. So it's just good to be aware, what is my spouse like, introversion or extroversion? Also, how you process information. So some people are internal processors. They're kind of nonverbal as they're thinking through things. Some people are external processors, and they say everything that they're thinking when they're processing things. And there are also people who process things really fast, and those who need time to process them. So I also am a morning and an evening person. That kind of matters too. I'm a morning person, not a morning person. And I kind of start spitting stuff out as soon as I get up to poor Todd because my brain is already like, wah, on fire. So I have had to learn that's not the time to have any kind of conversation that requires you to retain it because it's not going to work. So just how you process information is really important to recognize for yourself and for your spouse.
Yeah, the second thing is a book by Dr. Gary Chapman. It's called The Five Love Languages. And he has the five love languages for children as well. And I'll just cover them briefly. They're touch, which I am, acts of service, which Chris is. And then there's words of affirmation. There is quality time and gifts. And we need all of these, but you generally have a primary and a secondary. And what's important about that is, like, whenever I'm struggling, I want to give Chris a hug, but she doesn't receive, that doesn't fill her cup in the same way. Usually it's like 2 seconds later, she's like, I'm hot. Don't touch me. But I know that if I vacuum her car, she's like, you know, really super excited. And just little things like that, knowing can help you, you know, build that relationship with your spouse. And we naturally do what we're comfortable with. You notice in my example, I like touch. So I want to give, you know, encouragement to her by, you know, rubbing her back or, you know, holding her hand. But you know, that's not the same for her.
I do like that. Let's not like, but the last thing I just want to say about this practical stuff is this is kind of stereotypical, but I found it to be somewhat true. Have you guys heard of the concept of spaghetti and waffles in terms of how your brains work? Okay. I know it's very common, but just so you all recognize, women generally have spaghetti in their brains, as in like everything is just all going at the same time. If you pull one straight, it's just all always happening. And men generally are slightly more like waffles. They have compartments. So when you talk to them, they might talk about work, and then that's done. And then they can talk about family, and that's its own compartment. And there have been so many nights where Todd would tell me something, and I'd be laying in bed, like, eyes open, and he's like, because he went into a sleep part of his waffle, and my spaghetti
was like.
That's
my nothing box.
Yeah. So just recognizing your brain is probably going a lot differently than your husband's brain is going, and that's okay. That's just kind of the way that the Lord has made us.
And from the guy's perspective, it's hard sometimes to keep up, where I'm like, what topic are we talking about?
Yes, yep, yeah, onto that. Okay, so we're going to kind of move on to some of the challenges that we saw arising in marriage as we were raising young kids. So the first one, how many of you guys in here are multitaskers? If you're not raising your hand, you're probably, So yes, we are wonderful at doing a lot of things. And when you have little kids, there's a lot of things to do because they need every single thing from you. So you start micromanaging, and micromanaging starts becoming a habit of what you're doing. And, we have routines. We have expectations. When our kids, our two oldest kids were youngest, Todd was still traveling for work. So when he'd be gone, I had a routine, man, because there was a bedtime and this was bath. And he would get home and it pieced me. It was like, you're kind of getting in the way of my routine. And that I didn't say those words, but in my brain, I probably portrayed that.
Tickling them on the floor in the bedroom.
Yes. And I'm like, why are you rousing them up? It's bedtime. Right, exactly. So we kind of can do micromanaging, and that can start making your husband feel disconnected because they don't feel like they're part of what you're doing. And so that's something to just be aware of. What micromanaging also can lead to is control. And I talked about this last year, if you happen to be here. I have a control issue. And what that can mean is I think that my way is the right way to do things. And it's very logical when I'm thinking about it. It does seem right to me. But I have this Genesis 3:16 struggle where it says that your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. And there are times where I just want to rule my house because that's my domain. That's where I am most of the time. And so that was a challenge to recognize, hey, this isn't my place. This isn't my little kingdom. That can then lead to some comparison, because what you might start doing is thinking, well, I always do the dishes. I always do the laundry. I'm always. And then you're like, what is my husband doing? Well, he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot more than you probably realize. And a lot of you are also probably working outside the home. My experience was inside the home when our kids were growing up. So this is the experience I'm speaking from. But you do start comparing sometimes, and that can lead to challenges and potentially bitterness. There's also exhaustion. You're just tired because there are little people climbing on you, needing you kind of constantly. And to be honest, that sometimes can lead to challenges with intimacy because you've been touched all day by little people, and it can be hard to want to love your husband when you're just tired of feeling like you've been touched all day by people. And then the last thing I'll say on the challenges was figuring out how to spend your time, because there's family time, there's spouse time, there's just productivity time. I need to get stuff done. There's me time. Does that ever happen for you guys? Do you get me time? That like usually falls to the bottom of the list. So there's all these challenges that come up as you're raising, especially young kids, that can start causing problems in your marriage.
And I maybe want to start this next part by just asking a question. Like, raise your hand if you are getting me time. If you're asking your husband, hey, can I get a couple hours to go out with my girlfriends? I see all of our experienced moms are raising their hands mostly. the point I want to make here is, all right, raise your hand if you married your husband because, I'll say it in the positive, he is an adult. He goes to work. He pays his bills. Like, he's got his degree. Like, affirm that your husband is doing these things. If raise your hand. Okay. That means he can take care of it. He can take care of your children. I guarantee you, he will do it differently than you do. It's okay. Let him do it differently. I mean, from a guy's perspective, like, I want to help. I want to fix things. And the key is asking. I am a terrible mind reader, just not good at it. But she thinks, and I think some of my kids think, like, hey, we can read minds. But if you say, I want help, could you help me fold the laundry? Could you help me make the lunches for tomorrow for the kids? Could you, hey, I really need to go out with my girlfriend. And I encourage you to do that. Get time. Your husband can handle it. He certainly can handle it. You've shown him enough how to do it. I think the key is don't criticize when he does it differently than you do. If you're like, well, they need to go to bed at 8 o'clock, not 8:17 when he put it in bed, or, hey, the peanut butter needs to go on the bread first, then the jelly. Like, it's okay. It's okay if it goes on backwards. Jelly first, then peanut butter. So I want to encourage you that your husband can handle it. And encourage him, you know, pep him up. Hey, you're doing great. Like, I love it when you take the kids, you know, encourage them to take them for the afternoon. And then you can get that me time to get recharged with the Lord. You know, if you're an extrovert, meet a friend. If you're an introvert, get into the Word, you know, do a study. But you need that time, and your husband needs to be supporting you in that. But I encourage you to ask for it and make time for it during the course of the week. And then also make time to be together. Like, that date night is really important, and we'll get to that.
Did you want to go on to the?
Yeah. So let me talk about, I'll shift gears. We want to really give praise to God, how God worked in our marriage, you know, 25 years later. We've been together that long, not married that long.
He knows that I was thinking it's only 23 years.
She's like, wait, we're not married that long. And I want to say it's in little moments of commitment. You know, your commitment to being here is a great start. Your commitment to being here on Sundays with your husband, that's a great start. You know, we purposed it in our heart, you know, for some specific things, to join a shepherd group. And we prioritized that. Like, that meant like moving kids' sports sometimes, but that, along with like little things like keeping WGTS, the radio station, on, not having secular music on, like, over 20 years, got to use those words through worship and in song to minister to us and to really lighten, you know, give us joy in our household, and really changed our hearts to be more like his. I remember one specific instance, the Lord put it on my heart. You know, we were new believers when we first started, and tithing, like, and it's not about money, but it's about following the Holy Spirit and what he's giving you, and that you together would follow. And that started a dialogue. It wasn't easy at first to get there. And we had to create a multi-year plan to get to that point. But we felt like the Lord was convicting us that we needed to do that. And that changed the desires of our heart to invest where the Lord wanted us to invest. You know, I think Psalm 139:23-24 comes up. You know, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And this idea of, we want to be better believers every day, and we're asking the Holy Spirit, change us. And what you see now is not what you would have seen, you know, 23, 24 years ago. I mean, you're seeing God work in our lives and us be a testimony to what he's done, but it's just following in those simple steps of obedience, like being here, like being in, you know, small group.
For a lot of years, it felt like my focus, was solely on the children, because that's what was required, it seemed like. And so what I had to recognize that we all have to recognize, are we making them our idols? And it can become a gray area because your kids are needy and there's a lot of things that they cannot do on their own when they're young. So you have to really try to step back, and hopefully your husband can help you do this too, and say, are they starting to dictate what happens in our home? You know, 2 Peter 2 talks about how people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. You hate to think your child has mastered you, but you get the point that when you're doing everything solely for them, there's a lot that you're sacrificing in place of that. So what I started doing was engaging, as I was talking about, doing things here. So there were a lot of years where I was just being fed, and that's okay. And you might be in a stage where you're being fed, and that's good if you're being fed. But at some point, you want to start looking at how can I be pouring out? How can I, because that's also going to feed you. And so whether your kids are old enough to be in Awana, and maybe you start volunteering at Awana or in Quest, there's lots of places where you can, even Moms Connect has people that we look for volunteers to help here. So just finding ways that you can engage in ministry or other activities that will kind of not have you only focusing on your children.
Well, I want to add to that. It's also a great example for your children to see you serving, because that puts other people front and center and has them coming alongside you. I remember taking them to First Fruits with me when they were, you know, not that old, you know, late elementary school. They didn't contribute a lot to the team, but they saw everyone else serving and what a blessing that was. And so, like Chris is saying, you know, serving, I think, is a great way to fellowship. You know, I think one of the things, and I'll talk about this next, is that, you know, God is changing us all the time through his process. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And, you know, I was at work chasing a big promotion, and it pretty much fell on its face. But I can attribute that to the Lord saying, hey, I want you to move. I was at a point where I did not have great friendships. I had been involved in work a ton, and that had become my idol. And God was saying, hey, look, you're putting other things before me, and I need you to refocus. And at that point, I began volunteering in junior high, and I began sitting under that teaching as well. And the fellowship of serving alongside other believers in that capacity really changed my heart. You know, I spent 8 years in junior high as a volunteer. I went to a lot of retreats and summer camps, and God used that time to just reshape my identity in him. And I mean, that alone strengthened our marriage by just, you know, helping me to see Chris and to serve her in that process. So,
I know some of the things we're talking about is like individually what we did, but truly these were the things that were helping our marriage incrementally get stronger and stronger. So I'm going to put on this. So this verse, I think the 1 Corinthians verse, I think people are used to seeing that at weddings and stuff like that, but it's really pretty critical for you to go back to this from time to time and remember what love is meant to be about. Because it is patient, and man, is that hard sometimes when you're tired or whatever it may be. It is not envious. I mean, as a mom, you're not just looking at what your husband may or may not be doing, but you're probably looking around what other people are doing too. I can remember when I had one child, and there used to be some kind of mom's gathering that was at people's homes back then at RBC. And I was hesitant to go. And I remember going, and there was someone there who had kids just barely older than me, but maybe a couple. And this person is not in our church any longer. But I remember going and being completely intimidated because this person seemed very together. They were very verbal. And I just thought, I can't be that. And I didn't go back. And I can look back now and feel, you know, it's unfortunate that was how I handled that. Because people are in different places, and that's okay. I hope you guys here can be talking to mentor moms or meeting other people at your table and like Lisa said, rejoicing in what other people are doing, but not comparing ourselves to them. So as I was talking about some of the challenges we faced earlier, this verse really helps me with that, because micromanaging is not going to help my husband. I have still to this day, I have to resist the urge to not reload the dishwasher differently. It's so stupid, but there are more efficient ways. Oh,
it's okay. They're still clean.
They are still clean. Oh, but we have to remind ourselves that the Lord's mercies are new every day. So the other thing that's really important in this verse is keeping no record of wrongs. It's really important that you keep a short record of accounts. If you are harboring things that you're feeling starting to feel bitter about, that is going to build up, and that's not good. So thankfully, the Lord has blessed me with a really bad memory. So I don't remember a lot of the stuff that's happened. No, but genuinely, I think that's really important that we recognize to keep a short account. And then, are any of you guys going to Homefront on Sunday mornings? Okay, so the series they're doing right now is called Love and Respect. And there's a book out there by a man named Emerson Eggerichs. But the verse that he references is from Ephesians. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. It's really important to recognize biblically what your husband wants from you is respect, and what you want from your husband is love. And when we were able to recognize this, when we were first told about this, it starts clicking like, oh, you're wanting something from me, but I don't feel like we've spent any quality time together. So I'm struggling to give that to you. And like I was saying before, or did I say, I don't know if I said, but anyway, you have to be very careful about how you talk to your husband and about your husband. Because even with your closest girlfriends, you might just want to vent, because we all want to vent sometimes. But if you're really disrespecting your husband, that's a little bit dangerous, because that's kind of a heart posture that you're impacting. So recognizing that respecting your husband means respecting who he is trying to be for your marriage. I believe 100% that my husband would lay down his life for me. I cannot do anything but respect him for that. And I believe 100% that he loves me. And so when there are things that we're doing that are feeling frustrating, which completely happens still, I know that his love is absolutely sincere, and that there's reconciliation that comes out of that. So recognizing the love and respect piece is really pretty critical for your marriage.
And maybe just from the guy's perspective, I want to just add, like, we talked about correcting your husband in all those little things. When that occurs, what I generally feel is that, hey, I'm not feeling respect. I can't do it. I start to feel incompetent and minor, and like, why am I getting all these childlike directions coming? And it, I love you. Of course I do. But just perspective for you on kind of what your husband is hearing when, you know, make sure you cut the crust off the peanut butter and jelly and all these little instructions, because he can hear it. He can handle it.
Okay, so we're kind of getting to summarizing final thoughts here for you guys. I haven't skipped a slide. The first thing, if you're going to take away anything, there's a few points that we want to leave for you. The first thing is you always want to be a student of your spouse. Always. Observe. And Todd is right. One of my faults is that not only do I observe, I kind of sometimes think I know what he's thinking. That's a little bit dangerous. I mean, it's good to be very in tune with them, but you don't want to tell them what they're thinking. But you are always, they're changing too, and we're changing, and you're going to learn a lot just by observing and being a student of them. So that's really important. Just like Jesus always was, he's a great example to follow of being a student because around you.
And I think it's just this idea of serving, you know. Jesus was humble and serving, you know, those around him, the disciples, and we want to be in that posture. Your husband should be in that posture too, and encouraging one another to grow and to change. Like, that's what we want, and I think that's what I said earlier, is that we're not, praise God, the same husband, wives, that, you know, followers of Christ that we were, you know, 25 years ago when we first met. The second thing is, no matter what it looks like up here this morning, it is a work in progress. And if you saw us two nights ago in preparing this, it was like, I want to say this. No, we should say that. And it wasn't all that smooth. And so I just want you to know, like, it's okay. You know, God's mercies are new for us every day. And I hold on to that. It's like, okay, today was rough. And maybe we weren't the best that we could have been today. But give yourselves grace. Give your husbands grace. And start tomorrow anew, afresh, with a joy to rejoice in the Lord. And that, I mean, that just is a foundation of forgiveness. You know, Chris mentioned my parents are divorced, and that's how I came to the Lord, is just forgiving my father for what happened and why they were divorced. And that's a really important part of it. It's just continuing in that forgiveness, that grace, you know, for one another, and know that God is for your marriage. He wants it to succeed. And so holding on to yesterday's hurt and wrongs doesn't help you to grow closer to God, and it doesn't help your marriage grow stronger.
And I think the last thing that we'll say really is when we reflected on, and we've done a lot of reflecting and thinking about this, but when we reflected on where we are right now, and it comes down to seeking the Lord first, to putting the Lord first in your marriage. And that can sound cliche. It's like people, you know, if you're just told, go read your Bible and pray. Yeah, I mean, yes, we're all supposed to do that. But the reason that our marriage is where it is because the Lord is at the middle of it. So when we have a bad day, which happens for sure, I know that my husband is going to seek the Lord. And I am going to go seek the Lord. And in doing that, we've got the cord of three strands that is not easily broken. And that has been the saving grace in our marriage. It is the thing that I fully believe has us where we are and has the confidence. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in life, but I fully believe that it's because of the Lord being at the center of our marriage that we are able to have the strength of a marriage that impacts generations. Lord willing, it will impact generations. You know, you guys are doing a lot with your children right now and how you're raising them. And our prayer for you is that you're able to recognize that your husband is the partner that God has given you in this walk, and that trusting the Lord's plan for you guys and walking in the uncertainty of it. It's messy, but it's good. I wouldn't take it any other way.
Yeah, we refer to it affectionately as Team Fredericks. We're on Team Fredericks, which means God is for us, and we're continuing to walk in Him. And I think, you know, just mentioning, hey, being a lifelong learner, like that's a really important step of following the Lord. I'm reading Paul Tripp's Gospel-Based Parenting right now, and in the introduction he says that parenting is not, like there's no... You don't get to graduation and be like, okay, I'm going to parent now. Or you get to this significant birthday. Oh, when they're three, I'm going to parent them. Like parenting happens in all the little things that happen every day. And it's the consistency of being with the Lord that the Lord's grace will emanate to them. I mean, yes, we're teaching them God's ways, but they're hearing it over and they're seeing it played out in front of them. And so the little commitments, the intentionalities of praying before dinner, coming on Sunday morning, bringing them to Awana, like what you listen to on the radio, like intentional steps about teaching them about, you know, giving to the Lord, taking them to the missions banquet, showing them that God is for all the nations, that we're created in Christ's image. Like all those little things incrementally add up. And it's kind of like just with children, you have to repeat every instruction like 100 times. And yeah, we just need to repeat God's goodness in our lives and play that out every day. So seek God in what you're doing. And I'm glad. Praise the Lord.
I think that's all.
We are going to open up to questions.